Saga Egmont presents The Vet's Daughter by Barbara Commins. Read by Catherine Press. Introduction. The Vet's Daughter is Barbara Commins' fourth and most startling novel. Written in 1959 when she was 50, it is the first in which she shows mastery of the structures of a fast-moving narrative and a consistent backdrop to the ecstasies and agonies of the human condition. It was received with excitement, widely reviewed, praised by Graham Greene, reprinted, made into a play, serialised by the BBC, and adapted as a musical, called The Clapham Wonder, by Sandy Wilson, of The Boyfriend. But although the book has been kept in print by Virago since 1981, its reputation has faded, probably because the shock of the magical realism of its final chapter has been swamped by the tsunami of fantasy and magic that has almost engulfed the later reading world in the last 20 years. The Vet's Daughter is not about enchantment, it is about evil, the evil that can exist in the most humdrum people. Without being specifically feminist, it describes the evil treatment of powerless Edwardian wives and daughters, a theme in several of her other novels, not as satire, like Stella Gibbon's Cold Comfort Farm, not meant to be funny or portentous, but as a statement of fact. Barbara Commins, like Stella Gibbons, lived in a leafy London suburb for many years, though less quietly. I cannot now remember the year I met her in Twickenham. I lived in Wimbledon, and one morning I walked into the small and excellent private library on the High Street, where you could borrow a book for sixpence a week, ah, lost world, and asked the erudite, formidable woman who owned it, we called her the Dong with the luminous nose, if she had any good new novels, and she said, "Certainly not. There hasn't been a good original English novel since The Vet's Daughter." I said that I knew what she meant, and she replied, "So you should. She lives next door to you." This was not true, for Barbara Commins had moved by then to either Richmond or Twickenham. Earlier, she had lived in Spain with her second husband. I find her movements as hard to track as those of her heroines, and in some ways, very like them. The adolescent marriages and escapes, the curious jobs, the poverty, the rescues, the bundled-up babies, the messy art school bohemianism, the fecklessness and the bravery, and the innocence. However, the Dong had a telephone number, and a young-sounding upper-class voice answered. She didn't ask who I was, but she seemed delighted and said, "Come to tea." I asked, "When?" And she said, "Come this afternoon." The impetuous certainty is also like her early fictional heroines. Even in the depths of loneliness and rejection, they make lightning and often very unwise decisions. They seem to stem from a perpetual curiosity, an inner observing eye that even death, and there are horrible deaths, can't conquer. It is hard not to believe that Barbara Commins' own adventures are entangled in her fiction. Sisters by a River, which she wrote for her own children, and Our Spoons Came from Woolworths, read convincingly as strongly biographical. Ursula Holden states categorically in her introduction to Virago's 1984 edition of Sisters, as Commins called it, "The events in the book are true." It is about a long-ago childhood of six siblings, who grow up sometimes in heaven, sometimes in hell, always in a lovely landscape, controlled by a savage father and a deaf, distracted, unfriendly mother. When, much later, she published it, it was considered very shocking, but true. Barbara was brought up in the Warwickshire countryside. There was little in the way of education, and she was told that the family were poor. In fact, the house was large, there were servants, though discontented ones, and beautiful gardens. The landscapes of Sisters come into The Vet's Daughter, too, but as a dream of someone else's childhood. The heroine, Alice's mother, who was spirited from its heaven into hell. It seems reasonable to identify this setting as Barbara Commins' own, but the beastliness of the father...